Psalm 56, I read to you. To the choir master, according to the dove on far off terebinths, a midtime of David, when the Philistine seized him in Gath. Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk, they watch my steps as they have waited for my life. For their crime will they escape. In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. In a time of deep despair, in a time of doubt, David left Judah. He fled from Judah to Gath. He fled to Gath, the Philistine city. And Gath is the Philistine city that identified with the giant Goliath, whom David had slain. In 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 4. 1 Samuel 17 verse 4. Then Goliath, a Philistine champion from Gath, came out of the Philistine ranks to face the forces of Israel. He was over 9 feet tall. The original text in Hebrew says that Goliath was 6 cubits and 1 span, which totals about 9.75 feet, which is 3 meters. We know how David killed Goliath. He killed him with a sling and a pebble. And this great victory that David won over Goliath is still talked about and sung about in various nations across the globe, even today. David had told the giant Goliath, in 1 Samuel chapter 17 verse 46 we read, "Today the Lord will conquer you, and I will kill you and cut off your head, and then I will give the dead bodies of your men to the birds and wild animals. And the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel." The whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. The whole world still knows that there is a God in Israel. He is the living God who conquers the enemies of Israel and fights their battles even today. Now, when David won this victory, the women of Israel rejoiced with singing. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verses 6 to 7. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verses 6 to 7. When the victorious Israelite army was returning home after David had killed the Philistine, women from all the towns of Israel came out to meet King Saul. They sang and danced for joy with tambourines and cymbals. This was their song: "Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. From that time on, Saul began to be jealous of David and wanted to kill David. 1 Samuel chapter 18 verses 8 and 9. This made Saul very angry. "What's this?" he said. "They credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next they'll be making him their king." So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. And 1 Samuel 18 verses 10 and 11. The very next day, a tormenting spirit from God overwhelmed Saul, and he began to rave in his house like a madman. David was playing the harp as he did each day, but Saul had a spear in his hand, and he suddenly hurled it at David, intending to pin him to the wall. But David escaped him twice. So David ultimately flees Judah, and he enters Gath. In 1 Samuel 21 verse 10 to chapter 22 verse 1 we read, "So David escaped from Saul and went to King Achish of Gath. But the officers of Achish were unhappy about his being there. 'Isn't this David the king of the land?' they asked. 'Isn't he the one the people honor with dances, singing? Saul has killed his thousands and David his ten thousands.' David heard these comments and was very afraid of what King Achish of Gath might do to him. So he pretended to be insane, scratching on doors and drooling down his beard. Finally, King Achish said to his men, 'Must you bring me a madman? We already have enough of them around here. Why should I let someone like this be my guest?' So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Soon his brothers and all his other relatives joined him there." So David flees from Gath. But the second time he went to Gath, he was accompanied by his men and he was accepted. And we read of that in 1 Samuel chapter 27 right up to chapter 30. But this psalm reveals that David's life was in great danger in his first visit to Gath. And the Bible tells us that David had to pretend to be insane in order to escape. King Achish said to his men, "Must you bring me a madman? We already have enough of them around here. Why should I let someone like this be my guest?" So David left Gath and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now Psalm 34 also came out of this experience in Gath. The musical inscription here in the title of Psalm 56 is translated variously. Some titles go like this: "According to the dove on far off terebinths, the silent dove among those far away, the silent dove among the strangers, the dove on the distant oaks or terebinths." Some connect this inscription with Psalm 55 verses 6 and 8, which we studied last time. And they see David as the dove, the innocent one, silent, under attack, while far away from home. Psalm 55 verses 6 and 8, 6 to 8, Psalm 55 verses 6 to 8. "And I say, oh that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Yes, I would wander far away, I would lodge in the wilderness. I would hurry to find a shelter from the raging wind and tempest." So David is in the middle of great peril. He is in fear. And he says in Psalm 56 verse 3, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." Verse 4, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" Again in verse 11, Psalm 56, "In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" In this psalm, David lifts up three requests to the Lord. And the Lord answers all these requests. First, he cries out, "Deliver me from death," verses 1 to 4. Psalm 56, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me all day long, an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" All day long. So David was harassed by these Philistines, who remembered that Israel sang his praises as a great military leader. And they pursued him like hungry, panting animals. And David cried out for mercy. He flees from Gath. Remember Psalm 51 verse 1, where he cries out to God for mercy. Psalm 51 verse 1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions." Again in Psalm 57 verse 1, David cries out, "Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful to me, for in you my soul takes refuge. In the shadow of your wings I will take refuge till the storms of destruction pass by." Now in the record in 1 Samuel, we don't see any physical attacks on David, but he had a narrow escape, an escape from death. And he also heard a great deal of slander, and his life was in great danger. David manifested both fear and faith as he cried out to God, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" Psalm 56 verse 3 and 4. In the account in Matthew chapter 8, when Jesus calmed the storm, he tells his disciples in Matthew chapter 8 verse 26, and he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. When Peter was walking on the water, his eyes were suddenly distracted by the wind and the waves, and he became fearful. Matthew chapter 14 verse 30. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." The refrain in verses 3 and 4 of Psalm 56 is repeated again in verses 10 and 11, as David affirms that God alone gives him the power to praise him and to trust him. Psalm 56 verse 3 and 4, "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me?" Again in verses 10 and 11, Psalm 56, he repeats, "In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me?" There is a difference in the repetition. We'll come to that later. But let's remember this. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans chapter 10 verse 17. Faith and praise therefore can't be manufactured. Faith and praise cannot be manufactured. They must be received as God's gift. Psalm 56 verse 4. "I praise God for what he has promised. I trust in God. So why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me?" Mortal man is mere man, man who is nothing but flesh. This phrase is quoted in Psalm 118 verse 6 and also in Hebrews 13 verse 6. Psalm 118 verse 6, "The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me?" Hebrews chapter 13 verse 6, "So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear. For what can man do to me?" Scripture speaks about the fallen human nature as sinful, corrupt. The sinful nature is called the flesh. In John chapter 6 verse 63 we read, "It is the spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life." This is what Jesus is saying. The flesh is no help at all. Romans chapter 7 verse 18. "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out." So, before a person is born again, his life is controlled by the sinful nature, which the Bible calls the flesh. The flesh is influenced by the world system, and it is under the authority and control of the devil. The devil uses the world system, and the world system caters to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And the devil, using the world system, works through the sinful nature in us to cause us to commit acts of sin. 1 John chapter 2 verse 16. "For all that is in the world, the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world." The King James Version calls it the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Therefore, unless a person is born of God's Spirit, unless a person is born of God's Spirit through repentance and faith in Christ, there is no deliverance from this realm of Satan. And this is the reason why a person must be born again. This is why Jesus tells Nicodemus the Pharisee in John chapter 3 verses 6 to 7, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." In Philippians chapter 3 verse 3 we read, "For we are the circumcision
who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. The next request that we find David makes is in verses 5 to 11. And he cries out, he's asking God to deliver him from stumbling. Deliver me from stumbling. Verses 5 to 11 in Psalm 56. They are always twisting what I say. They spend their days plotting to harm me. They come together to spy on me, watching my every step, eager to kill me. Don't let them get away with their wickedness. In your anger, O God, bring them down. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. I praise God for what he has promised. Yes, I praise the Lord for what he has promised. I trust in God, so why should I be afraid? What can mere mortals do to me? David had to watch his step in Gath, not only in what he did, but also what he said. Because he was a man under suspicion and was being watched, he had a target on his back and only the Lord could protect him. David chose Gath because he thought it was the last place Saul would expect to find him. That is Philistine territory. So he runs to Gath. But when he made that choice, he was walking by sight and not by faith. Faith is living without scheming. That's what faith is. Faith is living without scheming. David now prayed. David prayed that God would judge Israel's enemies. In verses 8 to 9, David reminded the Lord of the sufferings he had endured in exile. Psalm 56 verse 8 and 9. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. My enemies will retreat when I call to you for help. This I know, God is on my side. The greatest assurance that a believer in Christ has is that God is for him. God is on his side. David suggested that these sufferings qualified him to have his prayers answered and his enemies defeated. That would assure David that God is behind his cause. And for us as believers in Christ, Romans chapter 8 verses 31 to 39 affirms this to us, that God is on our side. Romans 8 verses 31 to 39. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one, for Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us. And he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or are persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As the scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Never ever forget, as a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God is for you, and he holds back nothing good from you. God knew about David's wanderings. He knew about all David's failures and his wanderings. He knew everything, and he numbered them. Psalm 121 verse 8 says, the Lord keeps watch over you as you come and go, both now and forever. The Lord had preserved David's tears as well. Psalm 56 verse 8, you have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? The NIV says that God listed his tears on his scroll. God listed his tears on his scroll. Psalm 56 verse 8. Record my misery. List my tears on your scroll. Are they not in your record? Put my tears in your wineskin. That's another translation. Now, archaeologists have unearthed small tear bottles in which mourners collected their tears and then deposited the bottle at the gravesite. The point is simply that God is aware of what we feel. God is aware of how we suffer. God sees our tears and He records. His records are absolutely accurate. Psalm 87 verse 6. The Lord records as He registers the peoples. This one was born there. Psalm 139 verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Now Moses knew about such a record. He knew about such a record book. Exodus 32 verse 32. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. But now, if you will forgive their sin, the people of Israel had sinned and Moses crying out to God. But now, if you will forgive their sin, but if not, please blot me out of your book that you have written. So Moses knew there was such a record book that God keeps. Nehemiah also knew. Nehemiah also knew about this record of God. And so he prays, Nehemiah 13 verse 14. Remember me, O my God. Remember me, O my God, concerning this. And do not wipe out my good deeds that I have done for the house of my God and for His service. So Nehemiah knew that God records. Ezekiel knew that God kept records. Ezekiel chapter 13 verse 9. My hand will be against the prophets who see false visions and who give lying divinations. They shall not be in the council of my people, nor be enrolled in the register of the house of Israel, nor shall they enter the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord God. There are books and records kept in the courts of heaven. Daniel chapter 7 verse 10. A stream of fire issued and came out from before him. 1,000,000 served him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court sat in judgment, and the books were opened. Malachi chapter 3 verse 16. Then those who feared the Lord spoke with one another. The Lord paid attention and heard them, and a book of remembrance was written before him of those who feared the Lord and esteemed his name. In the book of Revelation chapter 20 verse 12 we read, And I saw the dead great and small. And I saw the dead great and small standing before the throne, and books were opened. Then another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, according to what they had done. God sees where we walk. He knows the paths that we have taken. And some of those paths have been quite bumpy. For some of us, We have often done our own thing, so to speak, and have gotten ourselves into a lot of trouble. God sees our wanderings. And nothing is hidden in God's sight. But do you know that God keeps a journal about you? His journal is composed of bottles and books. Psalm 56 verse 8 and 9. You keep track of all my sorrows. You have collected all my tears in your bottle. You have recorded each one in your book. So God's journal about you is composed of bottles and books. God sees when you weep. God sees when we weep. He sees and records our tears and He files them for future reference. As said earlier, among the Jews there was this custom. The mourners would mourn at a funeral. Often they would catch their tears in a little bottle, in a small little bottle, a symbol of their sorrow. Then they would place the bottle in a tomb or in the casket. One day, God will show you the book and the bottle. And He's going to say, I knew when your heart was broken. I knew what you were going through. I have kept a record of it. Now that sorrow shall be turned into joy. Now that sorrow will be turned into joy. And every one of your tears will become a jewel of beauty to the glory of God. God knows your difficulties. He knows your sorrows. The day is coming when your sorrow will be turned to joy and your tears will glorify Him. Praise be to God that the moment we repent of our sin and the moment we turn to Christ by faith, our sins are blotted away. The moment we repent of our sin and turn to Christ by faith, that very moment our sins are blotted away and our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. When we were conceived in our mother's womb, our names were written in the book of life. But the moment we turn to Christ by faith, our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Psalm 51 verse 1. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love, according to your abundant mercy. Blot out my transgressions. Isaiah 44 verse 22. I have blotted out your transgressions like a cloud and your sins like mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. When we turn to Christ, our sins are blotted out of His book. When we turn to Christ, our sins are blotted out of His book. And our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. Our names are written in the Lamb's book of life. So make sure that you have repented of your sins and turned to Christ by faith. Acts chapter 3 verses 18 to 20. Acts chapter 3 verses 18 to 20. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that His Christ would suffer, He thus fulfilled. Repent therefore and turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that He may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus. So make sure you're born again and that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. Revelation chapter 21 verse 27. But nothing unclean will ever enter it, nor anyone who does what is detestable or false, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. David repeated this refrain. I said earlier, David repeated this refrain of verses 3 and 4 in verses 10 and 11. But there's a difference. In verses 10 and 11, he used the covenant name Yahweh, Jehovah. Better said, Yahweh. The second time, he said in verse 10, I read to you verse 3 and 4 first and then verse 10 and 11 again. Psalm 56 verse 3 and 4, when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? But in verses 10 and 11, Psalm 56, in God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? L-O-R-D in capital letters, that is the name Yahweh. And this name Yahweh is the name by which God revealed Himself to Moses as the God of mercy, the God of grace, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Exodus chapter 34 verse 6. The Lord, L-O-R-D in capital letters again. The Lord, that is Yahweh. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. How merciful and compassionate God is with each one of us. David praises Yahweh for His word. In the Lord whose word I praise. Psalm 56 verse 10. David didn't have as much of the Bible as you and I have. In fact, he was writing some of the Bible for us. But he had the word of God and he depended on it rather than on his feelings and his circumstances. When we love the word and when we depend on the word daily, we will get to know more and more about the God of the word. We will get to know more and more about the God of the word and we will praise him more and more for his precious word. The third request that David makes is, deliver me so I can praise you. Deliver me so I can praise you. Verses 12 and 13. Psalm 56 verses 12 and 13. I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. So now I can walk in your presence, O God, in your life-giving light. So David is saying,
He's asking God, deliver me
so I can praise you. David praises God for being trustworthy. I will fulfill my vows to you, O God, and will offer a sacrifice of thanks for your help. For you have rescued me from death. You have kept my feet from slipping. Where did his faith come from? His faith came from the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Romans 10:17. Let's never forget. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. David is saying, I'm so grateful for the word of God because it has taught me to trust the God of the word. Where there is faith, there will be no fear. David praises God for all the help that he has given him. God delivered his soul from death, for you have rescued me from death. Psalm 56 verse 13. Sometimes I wonder how many times that happened in David's life. How many times God rescued him from death? God's past deliverance was the assurance of his future care and concern. And that's true for us too, isn't it? The times that God has rescued us, the times that he has delivered us, that is an assurance that he will take care of the future. Psalm 56 verse 13. For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. God delivers us so he can delight in us, and God directs us that we might bring glory to his name. God delivers us so he can delight in us, and God directs us that we might bring glory to his name. Is David's pattern evident in your life? Do you see problems? Do you see problems in your life? Are you praying and trusting the Lord for deliverance? Problem, prayer, praise. Are you praising him for delivering you? Are you able to praise God in the midst of difficult situations? Praise him. Even before he answers your prayers, praise him. Praise him for his word, his trustworthiness. You can praise him for his word. You can praise him for his trustworthiness. And praise him for his previous help in the times of your life, in the difficult times of your life. David's greatest desire was to glorify the Lord. And this is why he wrote this psalm. He had vowed to serve the Lord, and he meant to keep his vow. He meant to keep his vow. He had also vowed to present thank offerings to the Lord when his days of wandering were ended. In the Old Testament, part of that thank offering was retained by the worshipper so he could enjoy a fellowship meal with his family and friends. And David looked forward to that blessing. Today, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we offer our bodies. We surrender our whole being as living sacrifices to God to know his will and to be able to do his will. Romans chapter 12 verses 1 and 2. And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. According to Psalm 56 verse 13, God answered David's prayer. God answered David's prayers. Psalm 56 verse 13, for you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life. God delivered David from death. He kept him from stumbling, and he enabled him to walk in a godly way and praise the Lord. Psalm 56 verse 13. For thou hast delivered my soul from death. Wilt not thou deliver my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of the living. The King James Version reads, light of the living, which can also be translated light of life, as the ESV does. This is also the phrase used by Jesus, light of life, in John chapter 8 verse 12. And again Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So as we follow the Lord Jesus today, we enjoy fullness of life. We offer our bodies to Him as a living sacrifice. We experience His power in our lives. In true worship, we experience His presence. And the glorious light of His presence floods our lives. We walk in the light that He gives us. And what happens? We enjoy fellowship with one another. We enjoy fellowship with one another. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Fear can grip us when we feel life is out of control. That's what happened to David. When he was fleeing from King Saul and when he fled into Philistine territory, fear gripped him. He felt his life was out of control. But David learned to handle his fears. He learned to put fear in the right place. And we need to learn to do so too. First, David honestly admitted his fears. And that is what we see him doing. In the first 7 verses of the psalm, we see David honestly admitting his fears. He also admitted that the enemy was against him. Psalm 56 verse 2. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. Now, we won't win the victory if we pretend that the enemy is not there, or if we try to suppress our fears. David's enemies were chasing him like ferocious animals. They oppressed him all day long. They were slandering him and hunting him. What did he do? He admitted his fears and he trusted in God. Today, we as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, we recognize the real enemy. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the victory. 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 8. Be sober-minded, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ gives us the victory. We know we are standing on victory ground. And we fight from victory. We don't fight for victory, we fight from victory. Victory has been won for us by Christ on the cross. And He included us in His death, burial, resurrection, ascension, exaltation. He seated us with Him. We appropriate by faith our victory stand. And we stand against the enemy, putting on the whole armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 13. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand firm. David humbly confessed his faith. We see this in verses 8 to 13 in the psalm. He clung to the word of God and did not back out. He did not back out of his commitment to God just because he was going through trouble. And what was the result? God's protection, God's provision brought forth David's prayer and praise. And that is what we see in verses 12 and 13. Although everything may seem to be stacked against you, remember that God is on your side. You're a child of God bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. He knows who you are. He knows who you are. He knows where you are and what you're up against. He knows it all. He will protect you. He will deliver you. Just trust in His promises to protect and provide. God knows what you're going through and He will deliver you. Your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will overcome your fear and lead you to praise. Shall we bow our heads in prayer?